Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Happy New Year's Eve. Welcome to Encouragementology. Hopefully, I've caught you before the festivities are in full swing, or maybe your celebration is safe and quiet, and that's great too. What goes through your mind on the last day of the year? Are you just thankful you've gotten through it in one piece? Or do you take this time to review and recap the year? Matt and I have started a new tradition. We take a journal, any old journal or notebook would do. We then add the date and we write all the things that we've accomplished that year. Now, if you can remember the chronological order of all the things, even better. On the opposite page, we write goals for the next year. You know, we can get so busy living life with all its ups and downs that we may forget to celebrate all that we've already accomplished. This will help you put things in perspective, and it'll be a fun walk down memory lane as it grows year after year. You know, we started this on a road trip here recently, and we don't usually play the radio on a road trip. So we decided, hey, let's just see what we've done so far this year. And it was shocking how much we had already accomplished in the first 9 months of the year. So I urge you to do that. So tonight we will be talking about staying present and living now. We will also be featuring independent country artist Shelley Tackett. It only takes hearing Shelley once to understand why she is one of Nashville's most celebrated emerging artists. Shelley's blend of lyrical intensity and melodic craftsmanship have earned her recognition and respect in a town where being a standout is a rare achievement. So how was your year? Did you get everything you had planned on? Were you plagued by unexpected tragedies and you're just happy to put this year behind you? It's difficult to live and stay focused on the present. Many of us are burdened with guilt over our past or worry and fear over our future. Do you feel like life is speeding by? Are you stuck in the past obsessing about all the things you should have done? How much do you discount today waiting for tomorrow? We're going to talk about living now. How to enjoy every minute you can by staying present. It's easy to live 2 to 3 or even 5 years in the future. If only this would happen or that would happen, I could be happy. What about being happy now? Let's explore the ways that you can find joy in your current situation. Timothy Ferris wrote the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, on how to experience the benefits of retirement while you're working versus waiting until the end of your life to start living. If you aren't familiar with Tim or the book, let me tell you a little bit about him. At 33, he's written 2 best-selling books, speaks 5 languages, is the first American to hold a Guinness World Record for tango spins, and is one of the only handful of foreigners to have ever practiced the ancient art of usabi, which is a Japanese horseback archery. A Twitter-age savant, he's made a career of teaching readers how to achieve personal goals using the least amount of time and effort. His occasionally off-the-wall, even polarizing lessons include how to gain 34 pounds of muscle in 28 days, master a foreign language in 3 to 6 months, and increase fat loss by placing ice packs on your neck. In free-willing YouTube videos, he gives advice on how to use chopsticks, survive a physical attack, tie a Windsor knot, artfully remove the shell of a hard-boiled egg, and efficiently pack a suitcase, complete with odor and bacteria-resistant underwear. This is an intriguing read and full of great resources. But be sure to look for the most updated version. There's several of them. This way you'll get the latest resource and links. If you're tired of doing the same thing over and over with little movement in any direction, I guarantee you'll love this book. In the 4-Hour Workweek, Ferris offers solutions to what he calls the time famine phenomenon. In the process, he exposes cracks in the seemingly sacred baby boomer model of life, where work is supreme and travel and hobbies are deferred until retirement. His book uses a simple premise: test the most basic assumptions of the work-life equation. How do your decisions change if retirement isn't an option for you? What if you could use mini retirement to sample your deferred life plan reward before working 40 years for it? Is it really necessary to work like a dog to live like a millionaire? He says it's lonely at the top. 99% of people in the world are convinced they're incapable of achieving great things, so they aim for the mediocre. The level of competition is thus fierce for realistic goals, making them the most time and energy consuming. So think about that. Because people think they can't achieve greatness, they really don't try for greatness. And that's his whole premise. His ideas are to eliminate wasted time, automate menial tasks, and generate reliable cash flow so you can spend more time really enjoying life. Now, I'm not suggesting you quit your job and backpack through Europe, at least not today. But he does have a number one New York Times bestseller and a lot of really cool ideas. It's a great read, and if you don't end it feeling like the ultimate risk taker, consider this. By using money as the scapegoat and work as our all-consuming routine, we're able to conveniently disallow ourselves to do the otherwise. So think about this. John, I'd love to talk about the gaping void I feel in my life, the hopelessness that hits me like a punch in the eye every time I start my computer in the morning, but I have so much work to do. I've got at least 3 hours of unimportant email to reply to before calling prospects who said no yesterday. Gotta run. Does that sound like your life? You know, Mel Robbins urges you to just go and act on your instincts with the 5-second rule of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you have an instinct to act on a goal, you must physically move within 5 seconds or your brain will kill it. The counting will focus you on the goal or commitment and distract you from the worries, thoughts, and excuses you get in your mind. As soon as you reach 1, push yourself and move. Now, this is another great book full of motivation and really slick ideas. I read it, I'm using finger quotes, on Audible, which I would actually recommend for this book because Mel herself is narrating. She's a life coach with a smart mouth, direct approach, and an awesome personality. You will laugh and want to take on the world all at the same time. Here's how to use the rule at work. Use the rule and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to push yourself to speak up in more meetings. Use the rule to stop yourself from overanalyzing every email and just hit send. Use the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 as a starting ritual to trigger you to start working instead of procrastinating. If your job involves selling, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 through the mental dread and pick up the phone. And if you're in a customer-facing role and you feel your nerves or anger rising, the rule will stabilize your physiology and thoughts and give you the ability to self-monitor. When Robbins started researching why the rule works so well, she came upon several studies in human behavior and neuroscience that helped her understand the importance of physical movement in order to activate your brain's prefrontal cortex and change bad thought habits. The rule has broad application. It is a tool to develop more positive thought patterns that will help anyone overcome the fear of failure, patterns of procrastination, or self-doubt. Now, I tried this. I read the book, and it is amazing. I usually don't hold back. I really go for it when I have an idea. And I figure out, you know, even if I don't know what I'm doing, I'll figure it out along the way. But I started small, and she suggests you do that too. Start by setting your alarm with just a little earlier, and then not hitting the snooze. When your alarm goes off, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and propel yourself out of bed. Then use this extra time to work on your goals. Don't pick up your phone or peruse Facebook or check email. When you do this, you're working for someone else. Use this time to focus on you. I started the same way. I set my alarm 30 minutes earlier, and sure enough, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I got up. Now I use the time to take my dog for a walk, but during that time, I also listened to more inspirational books on Audible while I was walking my dog. So it was actually multitasking, I guess. Now, we are going to take our first musical break, and we're going to listen to a little bit of Shelley Tackett. Let me tell you a little bit more about her. American Country Magazine suggests Shelley's song, Play the One I Like, might be the best song that I've ever heard so far this year. That was from Maverick, the UK's leading independent country magazine. They also had this to say about Shelley. One of the most powerful, soulful singers in the business, she writes with the deep confidence and total abandon that only a true artist is capable of. She draws her listeners in with comfortable ease and offers each and every one an original and deep personal experience. We are going to listen to her song. I mean, obviously, since they said, play the one I like, might be the best song that they heard this year. We certainly have to play that one. So we're going to start off our musical break listening to Shelley Tackett's Play the One I Like.
Hey, Mr. DJ, it's me again. Looks like it's gonna be another sleepless night. You must be tired of the same old request. Could you please play the one I like? Where the guy gets the girl and they take on the world with nothing but their hopes and their dreams. By the second verse, for better or worse, she promises that she'll never leave. Just for that moment, it'll make me feel alright. Could you play the one I like? I'm not crazy, there's no going back. Even if I hear that song a million times, tells the story of a life that we had. Could you please play the one I like? Where the guy gets the girl and they take on the world with nothing but their hopes and their dreams. It's gonna be another sleepless night.
Welcome back. So we are talking about staying present and living now. And we just talked about a couple of really awesome books that might give you some great ideas. The first one was Tim Ferriss' 4-Hour Workweek. I'll tell you, that book is such a fun read. It's very quick and it has lots of neat links and stories and real life resources that you can look up and introduce into your life. I love one of his options or one of his ideas is about how to really get rid of unnecessary meetings. How many of us spend hours in unnecessary meetings? So he started weaning his staff off of unnecessary meetings. The first time someone asked him for a meeting, he would ask them, "I want you to email me the question or email me the premise of the meeting. If I can't answer it in an email, then we'll schedule a meeting," which I think is awesome. He also had a way to reduce emails, and that's really just reducing the expectation. So he let people know when he was going to be available to check email. And it started out maybe once a day, and then it went to once a week, and then it went to once a month. Can you imagine putting people off like that? But really, it all comes down to expectation. We also looked at Mel Robbins, the 5-4-3-2-1 5-second rule, which is awesome. Again, it's just about when you feel an instinct towards a goal, instead of talking yourself out of it, which is really easy to do. You know, let's say you see someone across the room and you know you need to go talk to them, and the thought pops into your head, "Ooh, I should go talk to them." And then if you pause for even the slightest moment, you start saying to yourself, they're probably busy. Oh, it looks like someone else is getting ready to talk to them. I bet they don't want to discuss that tonight. So you talk yourself out of it. Her idea is 5-4-3-2-1, go. And she actually says in her book, you can't do 1-2-3-4-5. For whatever reason, it doesn't activate the front of your brain. So you have to go the opposite direction. We're also talking about Eckhart Tolle. He's the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Power of Now, which has actually been translated into 33 languages. It is also followed up by the highly acclaimed book, A New Earth. Both are widely regarded as two of the most influential spiritual books of our time. In The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle tells us that the future is only in our heads, and the past is simply a collection of memories. The only thing that truly exists is the now. By always thinking about the past or the future, we're denying or ignoring the now. Even if the memory is a positive one, it could end in negative thinking as you compare your life now to then. So think about that. You know, if you want to think about happy memories, and you spend a lot of time doing that, even though that's great to reminisce at times, you could end those thoughts with, but that's not happening now. And my life is so much worse than it used to be. And so you could end up what started out as a happy memory into a negative way of thinking. He says, time isn't precious at all because it's an illusion. What you perceive as precious is not time, but the one point that is out of time, the now. That is precious indeed. The more you're focused on time, past and future, the more you miss the now, the most precious thing there is. Eckhart's profound yet simple teachings have already helped countless people throughout the world find inner peace and greater fulfillment in their lives. At the core of the teaching lies the transformation of consciousness, a spiritual awakening that he sees as the next step in human evolution. An essential aspect of this awakening consists in transcending our ego-based state of consciousness. This is a prerequisite not only for personal happiness, but also for the ending of violence on our planet. I want you to pay close attention. I love this part. This is what he says, a quote from Eckhart Tolle. All negativity is caused by an accumulation of physiological time and denial of the present. Unease, anxiety, tension, stress, worry, all forms of fear are caused by too much future and not enough present. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievances, sadness, bitterness, and all forms of non-forgiveness are caused by too much past and not enough present. Wow, we may need to sit on that one a while. Even Oprah keeps his book on her bedside table and says it's essential spiritual teaching and one of the most valuable books she's ever read. And that's a huge statement by Oprah and her book club. In 2016, Toll was named in Oprah's Super Soul 100 list of visionaries and influential leaders. He says, "The power for creating a better future is contained in the present moment. You create a good future by creating a good present." So stay with me here. It's unfolding as we're talking. When you woke up this morning, you had a choice. Okay, maybe not whether you had to get up or where you had to go and how you had to spend your day, but you had control over the immediate reaction. Only you can make or break it. When you're immediately in a bad mood, maybe your day starts like this. Ugh, the alarm. Why do I have to get up? It's cold. I should have finished that project last night. Now it's late. Oh, where is Friday? Is that how you feel when you wake up? It starts with staying present. When you wake up and your mind starts to spin, take a pause and remember what is important about that moment. Not what you have ahead or what you have left over from yesterday, but just that moment. How do you feel? What do you hear around you in that moment? Don't pick up your phone or turn on the TV. Allow your brain a conscious break as you start your day. Michelle Lan, who's a writer, a sports nutrition coach, a self-care advocate, has found the following ways to start her day calm, focused, and motivated. So I wanted to share those with you. The first idea is to declutter the night before. Think about that. Joshua Becker, he's of Becoming Minimalist, it's a blog, breaks it down into 10 60-second bouts of putting away or organizing all your clutter. He says, the more often you make this simple ritual a part of your evenings, the more efficient you'll become at getting it done, and the better your mornings will turn out. So at your house, who does the dishes after the meal? When do you do the dishes? Is it before you go to bed? Or is it the next day? What about picking things up around the house? Obviously, if you have small children, that's an ongoing process. But could you find 5 more minutes, just 5 more minutes to maybe declutter, put things away, organize so that you could give yourself a nice, healthy start to the morning? You know, when you wake up and you see all that left out, oh, sometimes you have a party or a dinner party and you're like, oh, I just don't want to do that tonight. I'll do that in the morning. Morning comes around. Oh, you're all immediately put off because now you have to start your day picking up after last night. The second way is to put yourself first. Courtney Carver, the author of Be More with Less, used it as an opportunity to change how she lived. Now she puts herself first, starting with a morning routine that revolves around caring for her health and well-being. She's up by 5:30 and spends the first part of the morning writing. Then she goes inward by turning her attention to her body and mind with stretches, yoga, or walking before wrapping up with a little more quiet time, breakfast, and reading. If the thought of making space in your morning, like Courtney did, feels overwhelming, let me tell you this. Carver started out with just 15 minutes and has gradually made room for more time. So do you schedule any me time? Are you an early riser? Do you have extra time in the morning before you really get your day started? Or do you put the kids to bed early so you can find some quality time? I'm an empty nester, so I have oodles of me time. I have a lot of projects, though, that I'm involved in, so I like to sneak in some downtime where I can watch mindless television or even give myself a pedicure. Sometimes you have to book that. Even if you don't have other people needing your time, if you get on a roll of working for other people, you may just have to schedule your own time. The third way is to keep things simple. Leo Babuda, the author of Power for Less, describes his perfect morning as one that starts off slowly, mindfully, and peacefully. Everything he does in the AM is as simple as possible. And for him, it meant whittling down his morning activities to just three things that he loves: sitting still, reading, and writing. The goal is to find your own place of calm and intention before the chaos of life starts to seep into your day. This is something I could work a little harder on achieving. I do have morning routines, but they typically involve coffee, makeup, and baking shows. I don't know how calm and relaxing that is, but I certainly like to build in extra time for it. The next one is to edit your life. Aja Edmond, a minimalist and entrepreneur, took her morning on as a project to reduce stress and anxiety. She started by identifying her morning bottlenecks, such as putting an outfit together or drawing up a to-do list. Those take up a lot of time. Then she tackles them the evening before, so that she's able to wake up with a clear sense of purpose and minimize any disruption into her morning flow. So whether you're working full-time or you're self-employed, there's always a thing or two you can do to make a good start to your day. Easy and calming. What are your biggest time wasters? What could you squash? What could squash your good mood and set your day spinning? What trips you up in the morning? Maybe those are some things you can knock out the night before. So we're going to take another musical break. Tonight, we are featuring independent country artist Shelley Tackett. We just played one of her songs that was deemed one of the best songs a reviewer had ever heard. So I hope you liked it too. Acclaimed as much for her songwriting as for her artistry, Shelley has won Merlefest's Chris Austin Songwriting Contest, the prestigious Kerrville Folk Festival's New Folk Competition, Just Plain Folk Song of the Year, Country Album of the Year, and Country Song of the Year, as well as being a finalist in the Independent Acoustic Music Awards, Country Song and Female Vocal Performance categories, and a semi-finalist in the International Songwriting Competition's Rock category. So we're going to listen to Mississippi Sunshine from her album When We Knew It All, Shelley Tackett.
Mississippi sunshine, Mississippi rain, muddy water rolling, going back again. Been too long time there from Delta Plain. Mississippi sunshine, Mississippi rain. Mississippi and Mahomes. Big wheel rolling, going back there soon. Going back there soon. Going back there
soon. So we are talking about staying present and living now. And we're talking about some different ideas that you can use to really get your day started off. You know, it always starts with your day. Everyone says it starts with breakfast. That's the most nourishing meal of the day. Well, your morning time really sets the tone for the rest of your day, doesn't it? Sometimes you get up in a panic, you're running around, you're late, and the rest of your day seems to be off. So we've given you a couple of ways that you can start your day in a calm and desirable way. So we're going to talk about a few more. Number 5 is meditate, hydrate, and nourish. Anthony Ungaro, author of the blog Break the Twitch, makes sure that he starts his day on the right note with a handful of activities that make the biggest possible positive impact physically and mentally. He starts with 10 deep breaths while he's still in bed to wake up his body and mind. This gentle process of waking up continues in the kitchen where he downs a big glass of ice cold water to rehydrate. The most enjoyable part of his day is, yes, coffee. He starts his day with coffee, but he goes for half cups at a time to keep his caffeine buzz to a moderate, jitter-free level to help him focus. He eats a high-protein breakfast to give him fuel and a good start to the day. Now, I switched to decaf a couple of years ago, and I promise you, it's all in your head. The taste and the need for a jolt. Now, I will tell you, the jolt is real. When you remove caffeine and then slip some back in, whoa. My advice, use a lot of really good creamer, and then you won't care what the coffee tastes like. Number 6. Slow down, way down. Kate Flanders, who blogs about mindful budgeting and living, used to wake up at 5:30 and dive right into work until she had a panic attack. And then she started looking for the source. So for a couple of years, she experimented with different morning routines and found out she didn't want one at all. Her mornings were the most precious time of her day, and she wanted to live them to the fullest. She said, "My mornings used to look like this. I'd be jolted awake as my alarm went off. 3 snoozes later, I'd still be rolling around in bed, putting off sitting upright and getting onto my feet as long as I possibly could. But when I finally did, my body and mind felt like they'd been asleep for 100 years, slow and heavy. My spirit, well, it was down. Not surprisingly, my bad days outnumbered the good, and something had to change. 3 years later, her mornings look like this. Instead of starting her day in a bad mood, reliving all the stuff that she didn't get done the day before, she finds 3 things or people to be grateful for. For example, her legs, her amazing mom, and her handy MacBook Air. So really, anything will work. The focus is appreciation. She too drinks a big glass of ice water and then gets ready, even if she doesn't plan on leaving the house. Simple, but it has a significant impact on the overall happiness of her life. As you go about your day, be mindful of when your mind starts picking up speed. You know what I'm talking about. You're doing a million things at once. You have multiple tabs open. You're writing an email, and then you have a thought about a recipe or a question you just have to have the answer to right now. I have literally been in the middle of an email, adding the final touches, and I will switch over and search the web for something completely unrelated. What? Why can't we just stay on task? Try to eliminate unnecessary distractions so you can concentrate on 1 or 2 things at a time. Multitasking has been linked to a reduction in productivity by 40%, as well as having lasting effects on your cognition. So where you think you're being a superstar, getting everything done, you're actually training your brain to work at a lower capacity. I have totally noticed this over the last several years. I work on the internet, so I'm on it all day long. And yes, I have to have multiple tabs open to do my job, but then I have a few more as well. And if you had a camera watching me click around, it would blow your mind. Why I click in that order, I have no idea. And sometimes I literally have to say out loud, stop, focus. You don't need to be doing that right now. And to sort of pull myself back into the now. Thank you, Eckhart Tolle, for that. Research also shows that in addition to slowing you down, multitasking lowers your IQ. A study at the University of London found that participants who multitasked during cognitive tasks experienced IQ score declines that were similar to what they'd expect if they had smoked marijuana or stayed up all night. Men who were multitasking saw IQ drops of 15 points, lowering their scores to the average range of an 8-year-old child. Wow. It was long believed that cognitive impairment from multitasking was temporary, but new research suggests otherwise. Researchers at the University of Sussex in the UK compared the amount of time people spend on multiple devices, such as texting while watching TV, to MRI scans of their brains. They found that high multitaskers had less brain density in the anterior cingulate cortex, a region of the brain that's responsible for empathy, as well as cognitive and emotional control. Responsible for empathy, as well as cognitive and emotional control. I have long said that independent screen time is going to be very dangerous for this generation in emotional and social abilities. So thank you for that research that backed that up. But you know what? I do it too. Ugh. I can check my phone, be on Facebook, and send a text multiple times during a program I'm watching. I mean, I really don't need to do that. Sometimes I can feel my brain being overworked, so I have to put it down, and I really try to just concentrate, at least mindful concentration, on one thing at a time. Maybe we should take Tim Ferriss's advice and alert our friends and family that we're unavailable from 6 to 10 or 8 p.m. on. Think about doing that. You know, we've been so conditioned to answer texts immediately. Then if you take some time to yourself and you don't answer it, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Are you okay? Are you mad? Why didn't you text me back? People have a total meltdown. Maybe we should set the expectation. I'm going to take some me time. I know people do that on Facebook. I see many of my friends will take a Facebook break and they'll make an announcement to everyone. I'm not ignoring you. I will get back on at some point, but I'm going to take some time to myself. And I think that's so important. Why can't you do that every day? You know, there's no simple fix there, but maybe setting those boundaries and realistic expectations will just be something that will help us establish a healthy boundary. Try channeling your energy into one project at a time, stopping along the way to admire what you're doing and how you feel about it so that you can stay present. If you like to make lists, like I do, you may feel accomplished by crossing these items off your list and seeing your progress materialize in front of you. Over the holidays, I received an email from one of my VPs letting us know how much she appreciated everyone. She said, "We all get busy and we forget to say thank you enough. Breathe deeply at this busy time. Find bliss amid the business. Be a human being and not just a human doing." I love that. And when you feel stressed, may the words below help. From the Abundant Entrepreneur website, she gave us 5 simple things that we could do during the day for just 10 minutes to lift our spirits. So I'm going to give you those. Really appreciated her sending that. Number one, feed your ears with inspiration. Listen to energizing music during the day. Just hands down, that's the easiest way to elevate your mood. Put on some music that you like. You'll be surprised how quickly you start to feel more positive about your day. How about invite positive people into your space? One of the best ways to pull yourself out of the doldrums is to spend a little time with someone who has an abundance of positive energy. You could also check out TED.com or search for inspirational videos on YouTube for a great selection of free content. Number three, laugh it off. Laughter is one of the most immediate, effective antidotes for a heavy mood, and that is so true. Laughter and smiling releases endorphins and happy hormones, which are produced in the brain and widely regarded as nature's cure for the blues. And I mentioned in my last show that you can even take a laughing yoga class. Now, you could do a little exercise on your own. Just start laughing. Even if you don't find something funny, you can fake a laugh, which will still release a chemical. You really help it out too, because once you fake a laugh, then you actually laugh at your fake laugh because it's so funny. And then it turns into a real laugh anyway. How about number four? Beautify your space. Eckhart Tolle writes that flowers are ethereal messengers from the spiritual realm, and that gazing at one reminds us of our oneness with all life, that there is peace in the present moment. So why not exercise some self-love and treat yourself to a nice bouquet? Put them in an area of your office or your home where you can see them, and you'll be surprised how a few delicate buds can really lift your spirits. How about five? Gain some perspective. If you're feeling a bit down, it's important to be gentle with yourself. Instead of making yourself feel worse, remember that the ebb and flow of emotions is part of the human experience. Take a deep breath and tell yourself that this emotional roller coaster will come to a halt. Giving yourself the freedom to experience how you feel can often be the key to releasing it. Instead of pushing it down and just trying to get over it, just walk through it, and I bet you'll get through it much quicker. You know, I sent an email back to her and said, thank you for caring about our sanity as much as our productivity. You know, work life, deadlines, and goals are another example of working so hard to get somewhere that you forget to appreciate where you are now. I've been in sales my whole life, so I'm very comfortable with things like pipeline reviews, 90-day forecasts, year-over-year numbers. It's really become my second language. Have you ever heard some of those business terms? You're only as good as your last sale. Isn't that a depressing thought? How about this one? The most profitable item ever manufactured is an excuse. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Check this one out. A sale is made on every call you make. Either you sell the client or he sells you the reason he can't. Either way, a sale is made. The only question is, who's going to close? Okay, I got that one from the movie Boiler Room. Truly motivating. Go, 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 right? How about these instead? Happiness is not something you postpone for the future. It's something you design for the present. Every time you tear a page off the calendar, you present a new place for new ideas and progress. The power for creating a better future is contained in the present moment. You create a good future by creating a good present. Don't those just feel better? I bought a t-shirt over the holidays that said, 1 year equals 365 opportunities. Isn't that great? What motivates you? Are you able to push for a better outcome while appreciating the presence? This may be a balancing act for sure. Now, as you wind down your day, a short reflection is good. Take inventory of what you did or didn't do and how you feel, but limit it to just that day. This is kind of hard for me. I love to brainstorm. One of the most rewarding feelings I can have is having an idea, a concept, and then watching it come to life. The downside of this is I can forget to be excited about where I am right now because I'm always thinking about where I'm going. One of my daughters is a second lieutenant in the Army. She went through ROTC and maintained a pretty aggressive schedule, daily classes, PT, and military science. She graduated with 3 degrees and is stationed at Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. I would like to think she inherited my work ethic, which she did, but she also inherited my brainstorming. She just got there. She just got a platoon, and she's already thinking about what she's going to be doing in 5 years. She has each step in her career mapped out and gets disappointed if there's any snags or setbacks. Now, I adore her drive, but I have to remind her that she has time and that she really needs to concentrate on what's happening now. Leave a little space for exploration. Now, we're going to take our last musical break. We have been enjoying the music of country artist Shelley Tackett. As you know, I love to feature independent artists. I feel like they really deserve to be featured and celebrated. They work so hard. She is also a much sought-after demo singer on Music Row. And beyond Shelley's sultry voice and velvety moments are uniquely her own. It isn't fair to say that Shelley Tackett's appeal is limited to simply one genre. She is gifted with crossover potential that has hugely widened her audience. She has shared the stage with Americana powerhouse like Mindy Smith and Mary Gaither, as well as country stars like Kathy Mattea, Chris Young, James Otto, and Anthony Smith. And she's opened for acts ranging from country artist Doug Stone to 70 folk rockers America. So the last song I'm going to play for you is from her album Here called Good For Me.
Never would have struck this match. Never would have started back. This cigarette would be my last if I knew what was good for me. Never would have bought this drink. Would have gone me on the brink. I'd have told him to pour the damn thing down the sink if I knew what was good for me. Tab and hit it home if I knew what was good for me. Soul. Lord knows I'd learn to let you go if I knew what was good for me. Lord knows I'd learn to let you go if I knew what was good for me.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. You stayed present and you're living now. I really appreciate that. And at this time in the show, I love to recap because, boy, we cover a lot of information. And I hope you were able to get a few nuggets in there that you may want to try for 2019. So we are going to just sort of talk about some of the things that we talked about earlier. You know, we started off talking about, why don't we think about what we've already done? Let's celebrate what we've done this year. You've probably put a lot of things on your list that we talked about, of all the things you've done and all the things you have left to do or that you want to carry over into 2019. So make sure you do that. We also talked about the book, The 4-Hour Workweek. I mentioned getting that. Make sure you get the latest version. There's so many resources in there and just a really interesting perspective. I think you'll enjoy it. It makes you think a little bit more about your day-to-day and how you could build in some more fun and some more experiences. You know, life is really about experiences and we want to have as many as we can. Life is so short. We also talked about automating tasks and just making more space in your life. You know, we get in routines where we're just doing things. We're not really even sure why we're doing them. We just go along with it. Don't rock the boat, right? But this may be able to give you some freedom to explore maybe some new things. We talked about Mel Robbins and her 5-4-3-2-1 5-second rule. Where are you going to use that this week? Do you know where you could stick that in and just do it this week? Try to find something. Next time something pops into your mind that is a goal or an idea, an instinct, try it. Just do it. We also talked about The Power of Now from Eckhart Tolle. I really love some of his writing. It really makes you stop and think. You know, it's a whole new way of looking at time and space. All negativity is caused by an accumulation of physiological time and a denial of the present. Remember me reading that? Whew, that was mind-blowing. We talked about different ways to wake up calm, focused, and motivated. Boy, wouldn't that be a nice turn of events? So whether you wake up earlier and have some me time where you really start focusing on your goals, or maybe you start your day with healthy exercise and meditation, or maybe a healthy breakfast. Or as one of the suggestions, you just do whatever you want to do. It's your time. How about no routine? Wouldn't that be awesome? If you wake up early enough, you could probably even work that in before you go to work. We talked about the risks of multitasking. And I know this day and age, boy, that is all around us. We have so many devices for communication. We have hundreds and thousands of channels. We've got satellite radio, regular radio. We have everything at our fingertips. And it's like we can't stop consuming information. We just have to keep go, go, go. So try just sitting still. If you're going to read a book, just read a book. Leave your phone in the other room. If you're going to watch a program, put your phone in the other room. Just watch the program. Let's practice. Sure, I'll get to that when I've completed this. Do you think you could say that? Yeah, I'll get to that when I've completed this. Don't stop what you're doing and switch tasks. When you do that, it takes you so much more time to get back to where you were. How about being a human being, not just a human doing? Being a human being, not just a human doing. That's really enjoying life. And we talked about ways to really pep your spirit up in 10 minutes or less while you're during your day. Maybe it's your work day or maybe you're at home and you just want to just jump in there and do something fun. Remember laughing? That's a quick way to do it. Put yourself around positive people. Positive people will constantly bring you up. Do you have those friends that no matter what you throw out, they kind of put a negative spin on it? Kind of like a Debbie Downer. You might throw out something positive and it's capped with or squashed with some sort of negativity. But then you have those friends that do the opposite. Like you may throw out something negative that you're struggling with and they turn it around. They put a positive spin on it. They always see things optimistically. Those are really fun people to have in your life. Even if it might seem frustrating when you're wanting to have a pity party for one, it can really help pull you out of those dumps. What motivates you to be successful but present? Can you do that? Can you brainstorm and create something in your future, but then stay in your present? Create little mini steps to get there. Don't always live so far in advance. You know, when you do that, if you live so far in the past or so far in the present, you're skipping so much time. You know, before you know it, your week just ended. Aren't we saying that? Boy, I can't believe it was already Christmas. Feels like, you know, we just put our shorts away for the summer. Time moves fast. So try to stay in the now. So I challenge you, celebrate your year now while you're in the present. You may have had a rocky past full of regrets, or you may be working towards a big payoff, but it's important to live and appreciate your life now to fully enjoy it. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you and how I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I could lean on. All you needed was some wind beneath your wings. We might be seeing things from different points of view.